Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour Extra Bits. This is our little gift for you podcast subscribers with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. This week we're talking to Imam Karachi about her new play The Funeral Director and we fangirl the amazing Louisa O'Malley.
Underwear, armpit hair, many imitators but no one compares.
Badass Women's Hour XL with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Now, when we think of people challenging the standards of British theatre and our expectations of it, our next guest is really going out there. Imam Qureshi is the winner of the 2018 Papatango New Writing Prize for her play The Funeral Director, which is an exploration of a gay Muslim woman coming to terms with infidelity. It's at the Southwark Playhouse until the 24th of November. Here to tell us a little bit about it, we have Iman herself. Iman, how did you come to write it?
So it's coming to terms with her sexuality. There's a typo in the blurb that's been sent out. But how did I begin to write it was the question.
What was the inspiration?
The inspiration, I think... So I started writing it about 2 years ago, and it was around the time where the gay cake row had just gone through the Court of Appeal, and the Court of Appeal had ruled that the bakery had sort of unlawfully discriminated against the gay man who came in to buy a cake, saying support gay marriage on it. And I was really fascinated by this statement because they clearly lost the case at that time. But their kind of statement was really resolute and like, no, we haven't discriminated. We're not homophobic. You know, these are our beliefs and they'll never change. And lots of people agree with us. And I guess I was really interested in exploring where homophobia comes from. And then also what makes people change, because that's what we ultimately want, isn't it? To sort of move people who do have these prejudices from that point to a point where they are accepting of difference. So that's what the play is exploring.
What do you think, I guess, what in your research for play have you found does actually move people? Can we move people?
Especially if there's religion involved.
Yes, I mean, I definitely think we can move people. My own experience, you know, I'm a lesbian woman from a Muslim background, and my family have moved miles, and they're just so wonderful and so supportive now. They haven't always been, but it's been such a shift for them, and it's been so wonderful to have them sort of rally around me. And you know, now they're sort of, because they're so wonderful and supportive, they've had to sort of come out to their friends about their gay daughter. And, you know, all their friends are now wonderful and supportive in their sort of Muslim community as well. So that has a ripple effect. And I think to answer your question about what does make people change is, I think it's just love. And it's just realising that, you know, the people you love are LGBT and they are no different. And yeah.
So how do you go from thinking about that and love to calling it The Funeral Director? Take us through that journey. I mean, I'm sure it could have been called lots of things.
I suppose thematically, death is one of the hardest things we'll go through, you know, losing our loved ones. Mm-hmm. But it's something that's inevitable. We'll all go through it. So I was quite interested in exploring that. It's quite a sort of emotional space to set a play in. The sort of premise of the play is that this Muslim couple run a funeral home and a gay man walks in and asks them to bury his partner who's died, and they say no and they turn him away. And that sort of has a ripple effect. And that's, you know, the plot of the rest of the play. So, yeah, that's why it's set there.
How has it been received in the Muslim community?
I don't know. It's open this week. Okay. It is, I would say it's playing in London. So, you know, London is so diverse. And also Muslims are diverse too. So, you know, you'll get some very conservative Muslims going, I hope. And I hope that all the issues are dealt respectfully and tenderly, and there is a balance of empathy. I think, you know, that one of the most complex characters is quite a homophobic man in it, but audiences have really engaged with him in a way, because he's a 3D rounded man, I think, and the actor who plays him is just so good at doing it, you know, with such nuance. That's sort of why we love him, we also hate his views. And yeah, so I, you know, I hope it will reach out to people who are both conservative and not conservative, and change people's views. That's what I really wanted to do.
Is it your first play that you've put on then, or have you done written and put on plays before?
I have written and put on plays before, none on this scale. This has come with a lot of exposure and pressure.
And when you're doing a play, does the do you have to start with a story? Or I just imagine a play is very different because you've got characters play a bigger part, or do they? I have no idea in terms of the process of getting an idea, or the seed of a story, which is what you clearly had, and then how you go from that to then turning it into a play that's got characters and people moving around on stage and sets.
I wish I knew, because now I have to write another play. The prize comes with a commission to write a second play, and I wish it was like an easy, kind of straightforward, like paint by numbers approach to playwriting, but I really don't think it is. With this play, I wrote it on the Soho Theatre Writers Lab programme, which is just an incredible programme. It's sort of spread across 9 months, and they have they really guide you through writing three drafts of one play, and at the end you submit it to what that they call the Verity Bargate Award. This play was written on that programme.
Amazing.
That came about.
So I think that your second play is about a family who have to come out on behalf of another family member, because I think that is absolutely hilarious, because there are so many things that your parents might have to come out. Just as you were talking through I can imagine was quite an emotional time for you. I can also imagine it's quite a funny time watching your parents do something and go on their own journey. And so I think that would be a wonderful second play. Just putting out.
Okay, I'll run that past them. Do you mind being the top subject in this play?
But to Emma's point around characters and character development, I think. And it's a question that I usually ask, do you think theatre has seen a resurgence? Because people are recognising now, in a different way to watching a movie, you see so much more of a character because they are there right in front of you. And there's something really fun and alive about loving and hating a character, but in a different way to watching them in 2D on a screen, because they are right there. And you might walk out and see them standing in the auditorium at the end.
Well, I mean, that's what I love about theatre, is that it's live, so things can go wrong. Mm-hmm. So there's this immediate tension in the room, which is really exciting. And actually, this play is staged, has got traverse staging, so you can see the audiences. The audiences are on either side of the stage, so you can see the audiences' faces across from you.
Nice.
So you're watching not only the characters, but also the audience behind reacting and going on that emotional journey. And so you're feeding off them as well. So it's really exciting. That sort of liveness and shared experience of it is really exciting for me.
So you're sitting and you can see the audience, and is it a square, or is it just audiences on two sides?
So if you imagine a runway in the middle, there's a stage, like a fashion sort of runway. So there are audiences on both sides.
Wow.
Nice.
Love that.
How has the play changed from when you first wrote it to now? Because it must change, you know, when you write it and then you see people acting it out, and then you take it to an audience and you see their reactions. How does it develop?
I mean, it's changed so much. I remember so there's a sort of central lesbian relationship in the play, and I remember when I wrote the first draft and I sent it to the dramaturg at Soho to read, and she said of one of the girls, she's like, no, you have to make her more likable. No one's falling in love with that girl. And now she's just one of the most lovable characters in the play. But it's just about like constantly refining and making sure no one's a stereotype and no one's, you know, journey is sort of too contradictory in terms of their experience, that everything has to like really earn its place in the play and make, you know, you have to be quite brutal with your cuts as well, which is hard to do. But yeah.
Are you proud of it now?
I'm so proud. And do you know what? The like creative team, the cast and the director have done such an incredible job. I mean, my job was done ages ago and they've been sort of on this incredible journey for the last month, just transforming it and putting on stage. So yeah.
Amazing. Well, it is on at the Southwark Playhouse until the 24th of November, so do go and check it out. If people want to find more from you, Eman, where can they find you? Are you on Twitter, Instagram, all those socials?
I'm on Twitter and my handle is at Eman Qureshi.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for joining us. The play sounds fantastic.
Thanks. I love being a badass woman.
Great badass woman.
It's a great idea for a West End play or something as well.
Our lives, but I want the musical. Badass women without the musical.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Fempire strikes back. Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
1, 2, 3, 4! We are lucky enough to have on the line with us the fantastic Louisa O'Melan, who has just won a BAFTA Breakthrough Brits Award. We're so proud of you!
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So
tell us what being a Breakthrough Brit for BAFTA is.
It's basically like a scheme that BAFTA run where they pick like, this year they pick 19 artists and it's across like TV, film and gaming, and it's like a year's worth of support and mentorship and just to like have the BAFTA name behind you really. So like you get to go to all the BAFTA events and you get to go to like the BAFTA like HQ, and they team you up with a mentor, and they just try and help you make a wish list of what you want to do career-wise, and then they try and make that happen.
Amazing.
Yeah. And you're the first comedian to win it, is that right?
Well, yeah, I'm the first one they've ever supported in this way. Yeah, so it's amazing. It's so cool. Like, I'm so happy. Like,
you so deserve it. We think you're incredible.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm really excited. It's so funny because I'm always like anti-establishment. I'm like, oh, anti-establishment. And then BAFTA were like, oh, we'd like to support you. And I was like, oh, yes, please. I can do it.
Love it. Got to be done.
So you have had a big old couple of years. And for anyone who has not been lucky enough to see your shows, tell us a little bit about what's been going on for you in the last few years.
So I started with a show called Beyonce Do, and it was like it's basically a comedy show, but it's a party with jokes in, is what I call it. So it was like a really uplifting, powerful, like fun, powerful show. Like, it started out on the Free Fringe in Edinburgh, so it was free to get in, and it became a word of mouth kind of sensation.
Sensation,
and
you can say the word. Yeah.
Yeah, can I say the word sensation? Yes. Like, it got turned into a book. I went to like 12 different countries and toured with it around the world. I got nominated in Australia for best comedy show with it. I had like just a phenomenal time with that show, And then I wrote a show called Am I Right, Ladies, where I did a joke about having a thigh gap, and that had like 50 million views now.
Is it 50 million? Wow.
Yeah, it went crazy. So that's had loads of views. And then my show was going out on BBC One. They filmed it last year. And it was on the day it went out on BBC One, sadly, my mum got diagnosed with stage 4 stomach and bowel cancer. So my mum died within 7 weeks. She died very, very quickly. And my mum was like a big support of my show. So she'd always come to my show. She'd sell like the merchandise, the jumpers, and be like, come on, girls. Like, she was hilarious. And so then that happened, and that just kind of changed everything. I mean, on every level, it's changed everything. But yeah, it just came out of nowhere. Like, it just came, things were going really well, and then that, it just came out of nowhere. And because I didn't want to do comedy again, ever again, because it was 7 weeks. It was so brutal, so quick. It just came out of nowhere. And then she made me promise to keep doing stand-up. And I found it really hard to go on stage and do thigh gap jokes or Beyonce jokes because I was like, I just don't care. Mm-hmm. And watching somebody with cancer is so brutal. Like, I wasn't aware. And so then I started talking about that on stage instead. And people really responded. And so now I do a show called Politics for Bitches, and it's all about cancer and cannabis oil and euthanasia and death, but with dick jokes, and it's really fun, and it's still really funny. So it's very different, but it's still me. Like, I'm still the same. It's not still me, like, I'm not the same person, but still the flavour of
still
me.
Still has your heart in it.
We can attest to that.
Yeah, we went to watch you at your Hammersmith show, Louisa, and I've got to say, I've always loved your comedy, but the way you talked about that, you know, harrowing experience with your beautiful mum, and the way you talked about that, and the way it was just like, it was just this incredible emotional journey where one minute I was like tears crying and next minute laughing. Like, you just have this really amazing like take on the world, and you do it on your Insta stories, and your Politics for Bitches is really, really brilliant. And do you know what? I only realised tonight.
You're getting emotional now.
Well, because I just think Louisa is just a really amazing comedian, and I really do think there's something really special about the way that you share your life and you talk about things. And Politics for Bitches, I'm so pleased to see, and also I'm pleased to see it's more than one episode. You're covering I saw the one where you covered housing, and then what are the other topics you're covering in the series?
So it's housing is the first one, then it's opportunities and like access to opportunities is the second one, and then it's public spending is the third one, and the fourth one is like a women's issue. I mean, I hate saying it, cause it's so, it's such a stupid thing to say to do in 25 minutes, or women's issues, but things like what is the pay gap, and what is gender inequality, and, you know, what are women complaining about now about equal pay?
Always moaning, aren't we?
So moaning.
Like, always living moaning. So what's all that about? So it's that kind of vibe, yeah.
So you have a knack for taking people on a roller coaster journey. So educating them, because there's those moments of, I didn't know that. And then you hit people with a joke and it's like, oh my God, I can't stop laughing. And then it's like, oh my God, I should be laughing because this is something that's really important. And I need to go out and start a campaign.
That's the way to get people going. Yeah. That's the way to get them like to listen. That's the best way.
As an art form, do you feel, because I guess, you know, this is your career now. How do you marry being almost an activist and a campaigner through your jokes, even inadvertently, and building a career, and like you said, doing things there within the establishment? Because I find, you know, that's a daily conflict for me personally. How do you manage that?
Well, I didn't set out to have an agenda, and I didn't set out to revolt back against things, and I didn't set out to challenge, you know, opinions or stereotypes or those things. I love comedy. And I would just talk to my friends about things that are ridiculous, like thigh gaps, for example, or like, oh my gosh, mate, I've moved it back into my mum's house. I'm the same age as Beyonce. Like, SML, like, what's going on? Like, and like, it was funny. Like, I make it funny. And then from the Beyonce show, people are like, oh my gosh, like, I love how you you know, we talk about like male mental health awareness. And I was like, oh, yeah, that too, yeah. And then, like, am I right? Like, I was just like, stop calling me fat because I'm not, and I'm all right. If I was, not a problem. Like, and everybody's like, oh my God, you're like a body image. Like, and I was like, yeah, okay, I guess I am. And how people are like, oh, you're like a politician. And I'm like, no, thank you. Never. That's not what I want to do. Because I just think, because you're right, it is a, if you think about it too much, then you do kind of get stuck with that red tape and rules and regulations and the conflict of who am I talking to and what is my principle and what am I saying and how can I have this. And actually, just forget all of that. Just tell your truth and call something out that you think is wrong and find the funny around it. And that's kind of, yeah, that's a rubbish answer, but yeah.
That's a good answer. And how is your grief now? Are you starting to enjoy being a comedian again? Do you feel like you're getting that back?
Yeah, I am. Like, I feel really good. It's weird. I feel really good. And it's weird. I don't like it. And I feel like, I don't know. Like, yesterday I went to my mum's grave, and I haven't been for a long time. And I went to her grave, and it's weird because I talk to her every day anyway, like, in my own head. I just talk to her every day. And I don't think the stuff that's happened this year would have happened if it wasn't for her involvement. I'm like, the BAFTA thing's insane. I'm like, she totally did that. Like, anyone that did that, it's totally her, because I definitely didn't warrant that or get that on my own. Like, that's definitely her doing some magic.
No, I was going to say, have I got this wrong? But did she also make you promise to do your Apollo show? And is that how you ended up doing that night?
Yeah, so I because she went to the doctor like 12 times. They were like, there's nothing wrong. And then I took her to A&E and they said, no, you've got stage 4 stomach and bowel cancer. Mm-hmm. And then we got told, oh, she's got 10 months left. No, she hasn't. She's got 7 weeks. She's got 3 weeks. And it took 7. And in that time, it was a bit of a blur because my Beyonce show was going out on BBC One, so there was loads of interest in that. And then Live at the Apollo got in touch, which is something that I've wanted for years and would always say to my mum, like, when can I get Apollo? When can I get it? And I literally got it on her deathbed, and I was like, oh, like, you know, guess what, Mum? Like, it's Hod's Law. I've got Live at the Apollo. And she was like, well, you have to do it. And I was like, no chance. Like, no, because I'm going to be looking after you. You're going to be fine. You're not going anywhere. Everything's going to be fine. Like, I didn't even think of comedy. And she was like, whatever happens, you have to promise me you'll do that gig. Mm. And I was like, I'm not doing it. Like, nothing's going to happen. You're going to stay here. It's fine. She was like, you have to promise. And I was like, fine, I promise. But, you know. And then she was dying. She kept saying, like, you must keep doing comedy. Please keep doing comedy. Like, you mustn't give it up, Louisa. You mustn't give it up. And I was like, I won't be funny without you. There'll be no reason to. Why would I ever want to feel joy or laugh again after watching what's happening to her? And then 6 weeks after she died, I had the gig. And it was my first gig back. And I was like, well, it's either not do it and have a Polish woman haunting me. Or do it and just be like, oh, Jesus, this is uncomfortable. But here we go, Mum. This one's for you.
Oh, well done for doing that. And we've got to mention Bernie. I mean, literally, Bernie's like your, like, side act now. Like,
oh, she's my double act. She's amazing. Bernie's mountain dog. So when I was Polish, right, and when she was dying, I've never had a dog before. I've never cared for dogs. Always thought dogs were idiots. And to be fair, she's not done much to change that. And I reserved a Bernese Mountain Dog. And everybody's like, what are you doing? And I was like, my mum's dying, so get a dog. And they were like, yeah, but get like a Chihuahua. Like, get one that you can tour with. And I was like, well, I've always wanted one of those big black, brown and white things that, like, just sit in snow. Like, I've always wanted one of them. So I'm going to get that. And I reserved it. And I went to pick it up 2 days after her funeral because I thought it would be something positive to look forward to. And then just the day before the funeral, that dog fell through. It didn't happen. And I was like, oh, it's a sign. Like, that was probably your mum being like, don't get a Bernese Mountain Dog. It's a ridiculous idea. You can't even look after yourself. And then I went online on Saturday night and I accidentally clicked an old bookmark and there was a Google alert and there was one Polish Bernese Mountain Dog that had been returned because they're hard to get hold of. You have to book it like months in advance. Like, they're a rare breed. And it was a Polish Bernese Mountain Dog that somebody had bought, changed her mind, didn't want her, sent her back. And I was like, hang on a second. How regularly do you hear a Polish Bernese Mountain Dog? Yeah, but not a Polish Bernese Mountain Dog. And so I called the woman. She was Polish. She had like the same twang in her voice that my mum did. And she was like a single mum. living in London. She was like, yes, you can come along. And I was like, oh my God, amazing. Like, I'm just going to, when can I come now? I'll drive that. And I drove about 4.5 hours. And I was like, I won't buy it. I'll just have a look at it. And like, I walked in and I was like, I'll take it. And so now I've got Bernie. Yeah, she comes with me everywhere, every day, all the time. She's a beast.
And I love, she's got her own Instagram account, which is just so good.
And somebody emailed the other day and were like, yeah, we're coming to your show and we're excited, but I need to make sure that Bernie's coming because my friend will be late to meet her. So can you arrange that? And I'm like, dude, not cool. Bernie's getting her own like, audience.
She's got her own show soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
We love her. Louisa, you are just such a superstar and we love chatting to you. Are you on tour with Politics for Bitches right now?
I am, yeah. I've got, this week, I'm doing so like the BAFTA-related stuff, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. And then I'm back out week after next. So I'll be doing Manchester, Camberley, Southampton, as well as a few others, but I can't remember now. But I am doing London on December 17th, 18th and 19th. So come along and see the live show. It's really fun.
Where will it be?
It sounds depressing, but it's really fun.
Where?
In London, I'm doing it at the Clapham Grand, okay. 17th, 18th and 19th. Just Google Politics of Bitches live tour and you'll find me.
I mean, it is, I will say, if you have a chance to go and see it, because it is possibly the most, the most memorable 2 hours of my life, I think.
I was just about to say, you won't forget the jokes, and I don't want to give away any punchlines, which is why I'm not showing them, but you won't forget the jokes, you won't forget the atmosphere, and you won't forget the support of everyone in that room as you go through the story.
Their love is incredible. Yeah. Amazing.
Louisa, you have been a superstar. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, Louisa. Anytime, come back. We love you. The fabulous Louisa Omerlam. Go check out her new show, Politics for Bitches. It is brilliant. 1, 2, 3, 4. This has been the Badass Women's Hour podcast with me, Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton. If you want to hear more from us, you can come follow us on social media at Badass Women's Hour HR, or leave us a review and tell us how much you love us. We really need to feel the love. 5 stars should do it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.